Brian Sotheby, former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com. Joins us once again, as he always does on Friday. Struds, or Suds, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I am good. The San Jose Sharks, Wilson came out today and stated that he is recommending keeping the coaching staff. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, but I think it's probably the right move. I mean, you look at the coaches that are available right now. I don't know if you're going to get a better guy than that, and I don't know if you have to look much farther than if McClellan went on the open market right now. I think he'd be snatched up right away. So for that reason, I'm not overly shocked, but given the meltdown, given the past playoff exits they've had and the expectations and failures, you figure something was going to happen. So obviously he came out and said that the status quo isn't going to work, so you have to expect there's going to be something going on with the roster.
So if the coach stays and the GM stays, what moves does that roster need to make, in your mind, to be a team that can actually win in the playoffs?
Well, I think probably first and foremost, I'd consider Niemi. And I don't know what's out there that can improve that, that they'd be able to get their hands on. Obviously, Ryan Miller, there's a lot of talk that he wants to maybe get to California and more in the Anaheim, L.A. area. And who knows with the goaltending depth there if that's a possibility. So maybe a few hours up the road wouldn't be so bad in San Jose. And I don't know. It's you look at all their past seasons and playoffs, you have to start to wonder. I know Joe Thornton, great guy, great teammate. I hate saying this, but I think they might have to look at moving one of those big guys. Maybe you free up some space and make a trade and bring in some younger talent if you can get it, and just sort of change the dynamic of that team. It's hard to say, but you look at the leadership, and I think ultimately when you blow a 3-0 lead, you have to look at the older guys on the team, the guys that are in charge of that team, and maybe it is time for a Logan Couture to take more of the reins and move into that role. Obviously, they just signed those guys for 3 years, but things aren't going very well. When you look at it, though, you have to wonder how much of an impact Vlasic had as well. And for a GM, you have to approach it with caution to not blow it up as well when you see that you're missing a guy like Vlasic and think just how the series could have been different.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Sometimes it's bad luck, and I think it probably takes more conviction as an organization to look and say, rather than making a radical change or a change just for the sake of making change, we believe still in our players. If Vlasic's in, maybe they win game 6 and 7, but it's very easy that maybe they don't. So they're kind of in a tough situation because you're a 100-point team year after year after year. You're in the playoffs. You just haven't found a way to get to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I agree with you that it definitely would take more conviction to just have faith in your team and leave everything the way it is. And I have to think that going forward, that might be the direction they want to go in. Maybe they look at bringing in a Miller, as I said. But I don't know, with that team, everyone going into the playoffs, yourself, myself included, the problem is you do it almost every year. You believe in the San Jose Sharks. But when you compete like they do every year in the regular season, they've gone to the conference finals a couple times, sometimes things just don't work out. And the biggest thing with what happened this year is the way that it unfolded. If that series had a went to seven and it was a seesaw battle back and forth, I don't think anybody even talks about it that they got upset or knocked out by the LA Kings, because they're arguably two of the best teams in the league. But just the way that it happened is going to raise a lot of question marks. It obviously already has, and puts Doug Wilson in a very tough spot.
Brian Sotheby joins us. Let's move on to the series. Montreal gets game one over Boston. I asked Struds earlier. We agreed to disagree on who we like. Who do you think's better, Rask or Price? Who would you take as your goalie?
I'd take Price. I think one-on-one matching up versus one another, goalie to goalie, I would take Carey Price on my team. I think obviously they're both probably top five goalies in the league, if not top three. But I think one-on-one, just their ability. Carey Price is really sort of coming into his own, and I don't know if he's had the team in front of him that Tuukka Rask has. I mean, there's no Zdeno Chara in front of him. There's no Stanley Cup champion team in front of Carey Price. So for that reason, I think I'd go with Carey Price. You look at his athletic ability, the way that he has the ability to steal games. I think if you put him with a little bit better defense core in front of him, he's a much better goalie.
Yeah, I would agree. Chicago, Minnesota. Most people are picking the Hawks. Are you the same?
Yeah, I think that one's over in probably five, maybe six, if Mini can get a little bit lucky or hot in net. But going into the playoffs, I had question marks with Chicago just because Taves and Kane were both out. You had to worry about their health, but they've obviously come back, answered those questions, both played very well, and they just look like the Stanley Cup defending champions that they are. Depth on the blue line, depth up front. I don't see this series going more than five, maybe six.
Rangers-Philly, I felt, was the most boring of the eight first-round series. Do you see the Pittsburgh-Rangers series being any more exciting?
I don't think so, because I think it's sort of the way the Rangers are. Because we know Philly has that sort of edge to their game. The players that are in their lineup, their head coach, Craig Berube, they like to play an intense sort of game, and it almost seems like the Rangers want to lull you to sleep a little bit. They have some skilled players, some good two-way guys, but not a lot of edge, not a lot of guys that really want to mix it up or engage physically. So I don't expect that this series is going to be much different. And I think that probably bodes well for Pittsburgh. You look at the way that series went versus Columbus. They were very physical. They got in on the forecheck. They were banging bodies. Sidney Crosby had no room. I don't think he's going to find that in this series. I don't think up the middle, Richards, Brassard, Stepan, I don't think any of these guys are going to engage him the way that a Dubinsky did and make him pay, and that's only going to help Sidney Crosby.
Bylsma put Crosby and Malkin together late in that Columbus series, and it panned out. Now he's got them separated to start this series against the Rangers. Only a matter of time before they get back together, in your mind?
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how the series goes. I think if things start out slow, I know they're down 1-0 here, I just saw, but then he probably would throw them back together. Malkin, you have to hope that it's a confidence thing, and Malkin sort of got the monkey off his back there with the three in the final game, and you hope to build on that confidence, and being able to split them apart gives you a lot more depth and helps you throw different looks at the Rangers. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. And I think with the Penguins, like I just said, they're going to be a team that has a different series in Columbus because of the matchups. And I think James Neal, if he just scores one goal, he could light fire. So they have a few guys that are struggling, and all they need is to catch a little bit of luck here.
Ryan Sutherby joins us from OilersNation.com, former NHLer. P.K. Subban, a huge goal, of course, last night. He's an RFA. What do you think he gets? It's going to be an eight-year deal for Montreal. I don't see any reason why they would go shorter than that. Mm-hmm. Is he getting more than eight, in your mind, a year?
Yeah, I think he could creep up eight-plus. I think if you're Montreal at this point, obviously you took the gamble. You wanted to see a little bit more from him, and they got it. He's a top-flight player and a game changer, and it paid off for him. I'm happy as a player that he's going to get his money. I would expect that it'll be eight plus, and probably a little bit less than he'd get on the open market, because obviously it's tough to turn down that kind of money. If he went to the open market, it would probably be 8.5, probably almost 9. It would be my guess when teams are starting to get a little stupid. But as long as he wants to stay there, which there's obviously been a lot of questions and the way the contract talks have gone in the past, that maybe he would want out. But as long as he wants to stay there, I bet you it's somewhere in the eight neighborhood and maybe a little north of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Shea Weber right now is the most expensive defenseman in the league, is 7.8. Not long removed from that new contract. Mm. And so that's You know, I look at Subban, who's obviously been a heck of a defenseman. There's no arguing that whatsoever. I just, you know, $8 million, because on the open market, he could only get 7 years, right? So, sure, he might make a little bit more. It'd be a, well, A, he's not going to get to the open market. I don't see, if an offer sheet comes in from Montreal, the offer sheet, I don't see it being high enough for anybody to really make them walk away, because you can only make it a 7-year deal. Right, they really, Montreal's still in a good position in the negotiations, in my mind.
Well, they're definitely in a good position. I think when you're PK Subban, though, you don't care that much necessarily what Weber's making. I mean, that was a few years ago, and you're obviously trying to get the best deal possible for you. Is PK Subban a better all-round defenseman than Shea Weber? In my opinion, I'd still take Weber on my team at this point. But either way, he's going to get a heck of a deal. He's a heck of a player, and I'm not going to be shocked if it's eight and a little bit eight plus.
Quickly, who are your four teams moving on to the Final Four?
I'm going to take the Pens. I think they're going to have a little bit better series, and like I just said, it's not going to be as physical, and I think that matches up better for them. I think the Hawks win fairly easily. And Boston, I think last night everyone saw that they're probably the better team. Obviously a little scary if Price stands on his head again and Montreal manages to pull out two in Boston. That's going to be a little bit scary, but I just think they're the better team, bigger, physical. Rask is more than capable in net. And I'm going to take the Kings. I think that's going to be a heck of a series. But I think at playoff time, when you look, I don't believe in so much momentum game to game, but I think the Kings are hot right now. They proved a few years ago that the regular season doesn't necessarily matter, and they got Jonathan Quick going. They're not struggling to put the puck in the net right now, which has plagued them in the past, and I think they're going to give the Ducks a good go, so I think the Kings will pull it out.
Suds, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, buddy.